The following is a lecture entitled Srila Prabhupada's Pastimes, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 12, 2009, in Mumbai, India.
Vandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
So, I feel greatly blessed to be here in this most auspicious place, Prabhupada's office, reading and discussing the wonderful pastimes of the greatest acharya that we've seen for many, many, many centuries on this planet. Srila Prabhupada Lalamrita, where are we reading today? Is there a place? Someone can show me where? Prabhupada's pastimes are not only here in this book, but his Nitya Leela are also happening right here. This is one of his places of pastimes. So actually, Prabhupada is... Pastimes are not some temporary thing that passed in time, but they are timeless, eternal leelas. So don't think that the Prabhupada Lalamrita is only in the book. The Prabhupada Lalamrita is right here, happening at every minute. So, just as Krishna's pastimes are eternally happening in Vrindavan, and those who have the eyes to see can actually see those pastimes, as demonstrated by Prabhadananda Saraswati, the great follower of Lord Chaitanya. It is actually possible, if we become completely purified, that we can see Prabhupada's Juhu Leela going on even now, walking on Juhu Beach, so many things, fighting, battling it out with Mr. Nair, etc., etc., etc. Those things are all available. If we become completely pure, those we can actually see in the mystic television within the heart. So that's another impetus for becoming a pure devotee. So we can relish, more deeply relish these pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. So let's see, where are we now? What place in the page? Well, I can just start here. We can just... This is something about Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Okay. As a prominent magistrate, show me where. Anyway, I'll just begin. It doesn't matter, it's all transcendental. As a prominent magistrate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a responsible government officer. He served also as a superintendent of the temple of Lord Jagannath and was the father of 10 children. Yet in spite of these responsibilities, he served the cause of Krishna with prodigious energy. After coming home from his office in the evening, taking his meals and going to bed, he would sleep from 8 until midnight and then get up and write until morning. He wrote more than 100 books during his life, many of them in English. One of his important contributions was with the cooperation of Jagannath Das Babaji and Gaurakishore Das Babaji, was to locate the exact birthplace of Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur, about 60 miles north of Calcutta. While working to reform Gaudiya Vaishnavism in India, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya, "Your blessings have been, your teachings rather, have been much deprecated. It is not in my power to restore them." And he prayed for his son to help him in his preaching. When, on February 16, 1874, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was born to Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Jagannath Puri, the Vaishnavas considered him the answer to his father's prayers. He was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck and draped around his chest like the sacred thread worn by the Brahmanas. His parents gave him the name Vimal Prasad. When Bimla Prasad was 6 months old, the carts of the Jagannath festival stopped at the gate of Bhaktivinoda's residence and for 3 days could not be moved. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife brought the infant onto the cart and approached the deity of Lord Jagannath. Spontaneously, the infant extended his arms and touched the feet of Lord Jagannath and was immediately blessed with a garland that fell from the body of the Lord. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur learned that the Lord's garland had fallen onto his son, he realized that this was the son for whom he had prayed. So we can see here what a great legacy we are having here in our Krishna consciousness movement. What a great, great legacy of acharyas we are having. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta T. Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. What a great lineage of acharyas we have. So, what is said, you can judge a tree by its fruit. That means that people will judge this tree by us. So that gives us a very big responsibility. We are coming from the tree of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. We are the fruit of that tree. So, that means we have to be very serious to become pure. We cannot remain nonsense, sense gratifiers, you see. That would be a great discredit to these great acharyas. We have to be very vigilant in our controlling the senses. You see, the rascal senses are there demanding sense gratification. You see. We have these six enemies camping out in our heart: lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. We have to tell them to get out, get lost, Mr. Lust, get lost, Mr. Anger, get lost, Mr. Greed. Madness, illusion, and envy, go as far as you can away from here. You see? We have to consider these great acharyas that we have been instructed to represent, and try to the utmost of our ability to develop these saintly qualities so that we can properly represent these great personalities. One day when Bimla Prasad was still a child of no more than 4 years, his father mildly rebuked him for eating a mango not yet duly offered to Lord Krishna. Bimla Prasad, although only a child, considered himself an offender to the Lord and vowed never to eat mangoes again. This was a vow that he would follow throughout his life. By the time Bimla Prasad was 7 years old, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita and could even explain its verses. His father then began training him in proofreading and printing in conjunction with the publishing of the Vaishnava magazine Sajan Toshini. Someone just wrote me the other day, they heard about Bhakti Siddhanta's being the Walking Encyclopedia. And this young man asked me, some young man here in India wrote me. He said, "How can I become like that?" But that's, it's not that you can just, well, be born a sense gratifier and manifest these sort of qualities. I haven't answered him yet, but I'll be explaining to him. You can't just, do some little, yoga asanas or something and become like this. You see, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he's a Nitya Siddha. He has come from the transcendental world. We just can't all of a sudden become like this. You see. Well, this young man is thinking I can tell him how he can become like that, but it's not. I have to tell him you cannot. In this lifetime, it's not going to happen. You can't become like Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in this lifetime. It's not possible. You can become like a Nitya Siddha who could remember everything he heard. It's not going to happen to you in this lifetime. So we have to realize that we are meant to serve these great personalities. It's not that we can become on their level. We're always their tiny servants. And if we understand this, then by their mercy, we can accomplish wonderful things. We cannot think that now I am a great preacher, so I will accomplish great things. That reminds me of what Prabhupada said, big, big monkey, big, big belly, sailang jumping, melancholy. If we think, oh, now I am big, big Vaishnava, so I will accomplish so much, then we end up falling down. We've seen it happen in our movement. Big, big sannyasi, big, big guru, big, big GBC, where is he now? It's happened, you see. So we have to always keep ourselves thinking, I'm just a tiny, insignificant, nonsense rascal trying to be the humble servant of my spiritual master and the predecessor of acharyas, you see. That is the safe position. In the battlefield, what is the safe position? All the bullets are flying. You keep low on the ground, you see. And then you're safe. The soldier who's up, he's the first one that's shot dead by the enemy, you see. So, in Krishna consciousness, it is also a battlefield. So that is the safe position. You keep yourself down there in the dirt, you see. Lower than the straw in the street. That means you're in the dirt. Keep ourselves always down there in the dirt. And that is our safe position. So you think, I am big. I am great. You're the first one to be shot dead of the material nature. You see. So, I will have to duly instruct this young man somewhere here in India. It's not going to happen. Don't think that you can do some little yoga exercise or something and become like Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So we'll continue reading here. As a student, Bimla Prasad preferred to read the books written by his father instead of the school texts. By the time he was 25, he had become well-versed in Sanskrit, mathematics, and astronomy, and he had established himself as the author and publisher of many magazine articles and one book, Surya Siddhanta, for which he received the epithet Siddhanta Sarasvati in recognition of his erudition. When he was 26, his father guided him to take initiation from a renounced Vaishnava saint, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who advised him to preach the absolute truth and keep aside all other works. Receiving the blessings of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bimla Prasad, now Siddhanta Sarasvati, resolved to dedicate his body, mind, and words to the service of Lord Krishna. In 1905, Siddhanta Sarasvati took a vow to chant the Hare Krishna mantra 1 billion times. Residing in Mayapur in a grass hut near the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, he chanted the Hare Krishna mantra day and night. He cooked rice once a day in an earthen pot and ate nothing more. He slept on the ground, and when the rainwater leaked through the grass ceiling, he sat beneath an umbrella chanting. In 1911, while his aging father was lying ill, Siddhanta Sarasvati took up a challenge against pseudo-Vaishnavas who claimed that birth in their caste was the prerequisite for preaching Krishna consciousness. And the caste-conscious Brahmin community had become incensed by Bhaktivinoda Thakura's presentation of many scriptural proofs that anyone, regardless of birth, could become a Brahmana Vaishnava. These smarta Brahmins, out to prove the inferiority of the Vaishnavas, arranged a discussion. On behalf of his indisposed father, young Siddhanta Sarasvati wrote an essay, The Conclusive Difference Between the Brahmin and the Vaishnava, and submitted it before his father. Despite his poor health, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was elated to hear how the arguments that would soundly defeat the challenge of the smartas. And he actually made a public presentation and greatly motivated and inspired the assembled listeners. They all wanted the dust of the water from bathing water from his feet. They were so inspired and enlivened by his presentation. Siddhanta Sarasvati then traveled to Midnapur, where pundits from all over India had gathered for the three-day discussion. Some of the smarta pundits who spoke first claimed that anyone born in the Shudra family, even though initiated by a spiritual master, could never become purified and perform the brahminical duties of worshipping the deity or initiating disciples. Finally, Siddhanta Sarasvati delivered his speech. He began quoting Vedic references, glorifying the brahmanas, and at this, the smarter Brahmins became very much pleased. But when he began discussing the actual qualifications for becoming a Brahmana, the qualities of the Vaishnavas, the relationship between the two, and who, according to Vedic literature, is qualified to become a spiritual master and initiate disciples, then the joy of the Vaishnava haters disappeared. Siddhanta Sarasvati conclusively proved from the scriptures that if one is born as a Sudra, but exhibits the qualities of a Brahmana, then he should be honored as a Brahmana despite his birth. And if one is born in a Brahmin family but acts like a Shudra, then he is not a Brahmin. After his speech, Siddhanta Sarasvati was congratulated by the president of the conference and thousands thronged around him. It was a great victory for Vaishnavism. So this is very educational pastime for us. And we should always stick to the truth, even if it's unpopular. Because in India, we all know this caste consciousness is the predominant attitude throughout India, this caste consciousness. So we should never think that we have to compromise with the modern day nonsense philosophies to popularize Krishna consciousness. If we do that, then there is no more Krishna consciousness. We spoil the whole thing, you see. It's better that we can train one person to become a pure devotee than to have 10 million people who are pseudo-Vaishnavas. Ekas Chandra, you see, one moon can light up the whole sky. What a thousand or a million stars will do. So this is very, very educational pastime of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. We should never compromise our principles, you see. Sometimes we hear now in ISKCON people are saying, well, the house sitters, they need to have sex, you know, illicit sex, otherwise there'll be divorce in their marriage. Some devotees have been arguing this. Some devotees have argued this point, that we have to allow the householders to have illicit sex, otherwise their marriage will not be successful. This is completely bogus. We have to allow them to use contraception. These arguments are going there in our society right now amongst some of our members, you see. So these things are completely bogus. The fact is that one has to get a taste for the holy name. That's a simple thing. The holy name is so sweet that it contains unlimited oceans of nectar. So whatever happiness one may think that they can get by some nonsense sexual activity, it is completely dwarfed by the unlimited nectar available in one pure utterance of Krishna. This is so nicely explained by Rupa Goswami. Tunde tandavani vitim vitinute tundavali lamdeye karna karoda kadambani gatayate kunarbe vyaspriham cheta prangana sangani vijayate servendriyanam kritim no jane janita ki anbiramitai krishneti varnadvai. I do not know how much nectar is contained in these two syllables, Krishna. When that name is uttered, it is dancing within my mouth. At that time, I desire many mouths. And when those names enter the halls of my ears, we then desire many, many millions of ears. And when those names are dancing in the courtyard of my heart, my mind becomes completely conquered and all of my senses become inert, stunned, completely stunned in wonderment. So if you can get that out of Krishna, saying Krishna, then who needs some nonsense so-called sexual enjoyment? I remember when I was a young brahmachari, never forget, one house elder couple told me, this is in our Miami temple. I don't know why they told me, but they felt enlivened. The husband was telling me. He said, yeah, last night my wife and I, we chanted 50 rounds. We could try to have a child. We chanted 50 rounds and to get ready for sex. And we were so enlivened by the chanting, he said, let's wait till next month. They didn't want to come down to the bodily platform, you see. They were getting so much nectar from Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They said, who cares about having Krishna conscious sex? But that can be done next month. Let's just keep swimming in this nectar of Krishna's name, you see. We're flying high in the mantra. We don't feel like coming down to the, you know, male-female platform. Let's stay up here on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this really shows we don't need to compromise in any way, you know. We don't really need to compromise. It's not that we have to adjust things because, you know, it's the modern times and, you know, the traditional Vedic way can be maintained. You see, women can still be called Mataji. It's not that we have to change it because there's so much women's liberation philosophy out there. No, we don't have to change it. We can keep it just like it is, just like Prabhupada gave it to us, just like Bhaktisiddhanta gave it, just like Bhaktivinoda. We can keep it in its original pure form. But don't do it mechanically. If you just stick to the form of it and you don't capture the essence of it, that is also a fault. Niyamagraha. If you just stick to the rules and regulations and you don't capture the essence of it, that's also wrong. So we have to capture the essence of Vaishnavism. The essence of Vaishnava culture. And see, that we must do. If we throw away the rules and regulations, our movement's finished. If we take them fanatically, blindly, our movement is also finished. We have to capture the essence, which means loving relationship with Krishna, loving relationship with Vaishnavas, and loving relationship with all living entities. That's why we're preaching. That's why we have book distribution marathon. That is love, you see. They're not doing it for the numbers. We're doing, of course, the numbers are a good indication. But we're not doing it for the numbers, we're doing it for the love. Because we're being trained that we have to love all living entities. Now we're not there yet. We're still lusty, angry, greedy, mad, illusioned, and envious. Honestly, that's our position. But our great acharyas are pushing us to become true loving beings who truly care about the suffering condition of all living entities throughout the universe. So the whole essence of what we're doing is actually love. Love for Krishna, love for Vaishnavas, and love for the jivas who are suffering in the cycle of birth and death. So if the love is there, you see, then the thing will go on. Krishna consciousness movement will go on. It will, in fact, flood the whole planet, as predicted by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So nicely he is predicted. Satjana darjana bangu jadda anagana prema vanyaya dubaila jagatera jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is prema tsunami, and it will flood the whole universe, drowning everyone. Doesn't matter if you are pious, impious, lame, invalid, or blind, you will become drowned in this flood of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. That is predicted. So it's not a question of whether or not we will take over the world. It's a question of when, that's all. This movement that Prabhupada is so wonderfully taken of Lord Chaitanya and made it and globalized it, you see. It was a localized movement during Chaitanya's era. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, it was localized, but now Prabhupada has globalized it, you see. The globalization of Lord Chaitanya's movement is ISKCON. That's the globalized version of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So we are the lucky monkeys, just like Ram engaged the monkeys. And what a monkey can do against the powerful Rakshasa. But empowered by Ram, he can defeat a powerful Rakshasa. So we are the monkeys. We are Prabhupada's monkeys. He has pulled us out of the jungle of sense gratification, engaged us in fighting this ravenous civilization. Let's see. So by the potency of Prabhupada and these great, great acharyas, even though who are we? We're just monkeys. But we can become empowered like those like Ram's monkeys were, to defeat this Rakshasa civilization, to actually take over the world and make Vaishnavism the world religion. As Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur stated, when the high court judges are wearing tilak, then we are successful. I've been told there's one high court judge in India that's wearing tilak. Is that correct? In Vrindavan, I don't know who. But he's not. But now we have, if that's indeed the fact, then we have a lot more. That how many high court judges are there on this planet? Every country has its slate of high court judges. So we are, to really be successful, we have to get all those high court judges wearing this Vaishnava tilak, you see. So that will be the great success of our movement, you see. So we have to work for that day, we have to live for that day, we have to keep that vision, that dream burning within our hearts. You see. We have to keep that dream that yes, I want to see that the whole world will become Krishna conscious. Keep that fire, that Sankirtan fire, always blazing within the heart. In all times, all places, in all situations. I want to see this whole world take up Prabhupada's instructions, you see. If we keep that fire blazing in our hearts, then we'll be able to convince anybody to take a book. One book distributor's out on the street, and he didn't really want the book, but the devotee smiled so wonderfully. He said, anybody who smiles like that, I'll take your book. That smile convinced him. The devotee was like a sun god standing there on the street. He was so amazed by the smiling of the devotee. I don't know what the book is, but if you're smiling like that, I'll take your book. So in this way, we have to keep this Krishna consciousness movement going on very powerfully within our hearts and going out, flooding the whole planet. So maybe I can ask now if there's some questions. Anybody have any questions? We have 5 minutes left, 5 minutes or so. Anyone have a question? Yeah. Come here and tell me in my ear. I'm pretty deaf. You can come. Only 2 minutes left. All right, so if there's any quick question. If not, we'll stop here. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada Lamrita Ki Jai. Krishna Consciousness Movement flood the whole world with Krishna Bhakti Ki Jai.